WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Having pride in things American is one thing, but our language commentator Jeffrey Nunberg says when it comes to our language, we go too far.
I once heard a story about an Oklahoma superintendent of schools who refused to allow the teaching of foreign languages to his students on the grounds that if English was good enough for Jesus, he guessed it was good enough for them. Now, this is doubtless apocryphal and a libel on the people of a great state, but it does point out a very real problem, one that I wish we'd hear more about when people start talking about American competitiveness. To say merely that Americans are not terribly good at foreign languages is sort of like saying that Russians are not terribly good at designer sportswear. The figures on foreign language education are scandalous. Try this. 85% of high school students take no foreign language at all, and only 5% study a foreign language for more than 2 years. Or how about this one? For every American studying Russian, there are over 350 Soviets studying English. The consequences are predictably disastrous. Not long ago, a Russian walked into the American embassy in Kabul, Afghanistan, looking for political asylum, only to find that there was no one there who spoke Russian. And only 18% of CIA recruits are proficient in a foreign language. I suppose the other 82% are all put to work spying on Grenada. In the private sector, things are equally bad. The overseas offices of U.S. firms are more often than not run by managers who cannot speak the local language and who have little or no understanding of the local culture and business environment. The fact is that if our math and science skills were at the same level as our foreign language skills, you'd have people raising a bigger ruckus than they did when Sputnik went up. Yet American competitiveness depends as much on one as on the other. To be sure, some help is on the way. More and more states are introducing foreign language requirements for college entrance. Congress has appropriated some funds for increased foreign language programs, and the omnibus trade bill that recently passed the House includes further provisions along these lines. But we're not going to see any real change until the American people can overcome their traditional attitudes of indifference and suspicion towards foreign languages. Doubtless, many people feel this way because they associate foreign languages with immigrants and seem to suspect that mastery of a foreign language is a sign of divided loyalty. Certainly, it's a striking irony that in the midst of all this talk about competitiveness, there's a powerful political movement trying to end bilingual education programs. Programs designed, among other things, to help the children of immigrants become literate in their native tongue along with English. If we were thinking about this rationally, after all, we would regard bilingual populations as an invaluable national resource. But our attitude is also a hangover from our long-standing isolationist tradition. As someone once observed, Europe has always seemed a lot further away to Americans than America has to the Europeans. Even now, for example, American students show a pretty appalling ignorance of the facts of geography. Recent studies found that 40% of 12th graders don't know where Egypt is, and that about the same number believe that Israel is an Arab country. And the media don't help matters much. American television provides less information about foreign countries than that of any other nation in the world, with the possible exception of China. The sooner this changes, the better off we'll be. If we were any other nation in the developed world, we would be teaching foreign languages as a matter of course in every elementary school when kids are still young enough to catch on. It's not just that we need managers and diplomats who can do business abroad. After all, they'll still be a relatively small number of people. The important thing is to overcome the mentality that disparages foreign language study in the first place, as a step in coming to understand that we're only one of the players in the room.
Language commentator Jeffrey Nunberg is a linguist associated with the Center for the Study of Language and Information at Stanford University.